Well, hello and welcome back to the Archaeology News Weekly. I am David Connolly. And without further ado, this news is brought to you in partnership between Stonepages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stonepages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. First, we have a new bus service connecting Avebury and Stonehenge. Then a short report on a dig to discover Jersey's Ice Age. Genetic archaeology shows that Tibetans adapted to altitude in under 3,000 years. And going digital, Archwilio website maps Welsh archaeological sites and monuments. The Orkney Venus dig resumes in northern Scotland, and a new hypothesis is pursued, suggesting that prehistoric rock engravings were primitive cinema. 10,000-year-old weapon is found in the Rocky Mountains, highlighting the new science of ice patch archaeology, and a new crannog is found in Ireland after a drop in the water level of a lake. Motorbikes and 4x4s are wrecking Welsh heritage sites, so it's time to fight back. And finally, back in Ireland again, anglers have caught a prehistoric canoe. Or have they? Anyway, on to the first story, and it is a minibus service connecting Avebury and Stonehenge, being planned by the devices-based Wiltshire Archaeological and Natural History Society. The society, which runs Wiltshire's Heritage Museum and Devizes, hopes to have the service up and running by the Festival of British Archaeology in August. It is the brainchild of David Dawson, director of the museum, who said that it is still in the planning stage and they have submitted an application for funding, which they should hear about in 2 or 3 weeks. The route will run through August and September this year as a pilot project, and depending on its success, it also may run next summer and potentially all year round. The route will start at Avebury, travel through Beckhampton with a side trip to Silbury Hill, West Kennet and the Sanctuary. Then it will head to Devizes with stops at the Museum and Wadsworth before continuing on to Durrington, Amesbury and Stonehenge. The return trip from Stonehenge will also take in Alton Barnes White Horse and the recently opened Great Stones Way footpath. Tickets will only be £10. So to comment on the idea, go to www.wiltshireheritage.org.uk. Now tell me that is not worth the price. A good deal if ever there was one. A team of archaeologists have announced that they are to investigate the Ice Age sites of Jersey, a British Crown dependency off the coast of Normandy. An initial 18-day dig is likely to take place at 7 sites, including La Côte, where Ice Age remains have been found. The 21-strong crew includes researchers from Southampton University, University College London and the British Museum. Matthew Pope, a team member, said that the dig aimed to be the most systematic study of how human life evolved in Jersey in a generation. He said, La Côte de Saint, I knew I was going to have trouble with this, I'm not very good at French. La Côte de Saint-Brélaire is a very important site that we all learnt about during our undergraduate courses. No one's looked at the site in 30 years, which is why they want to do a full survey now. In addition to La Côte, the team plans to dig at Les Landes and sites across along the south coast from St Helier to Seymour Tower. The team, which is working with Jersey Heritage, intend to explore the sites over several years. Tibetans took less than 3,000 years to adapt to living at high altitude, says a new study. This is the fastest genetic change ever observed in humans, says Rasmus Nielsen of the University of California, Berkeley, a biology professor who led the statistical analysis and genome-wide comparison between the Tibetans and the Han Chinese. According to the study, the Tibetans and the Han Chinese split into two separate populations some 2,750 years ago, with the larger group moving to the Tibetan Plateau, where it dwindled, while the low-elevation Han expanded dramatically. The Tibetans, however, quickly evolved a unique ability to live above 4,000 metres, where oxygen levels are 40% lower than those at sea level. For such a strong change, a lot of people would have had to die simply due to the fact that they had the wrong version of the gene. Comparing the genes of both ethnic groups, researchers found that 30 genes with DNA mutations have become more prevalent in Tibetans than Han Chinese, nearly half of which are related to how the body uses oxygen. or mutation in particular, spread from fewer than 10% of the Han Chinese to nearly 90% of all Tibetans. It's near a gene called the EPAS1 that codes for a protein involved in sensing oxygen levels and perhaps balancing aerobic and anaerobic metabolism. When people from lower elevations above move to above 4,000 metres, they typically tire easily, develop headaches, produce babies with lower birth weights, and have a higher infant mortality. Tibetans have none of these problems, despite lower oxygen saturation in the blood and lower levels of haemoglobin, which gives blood its red colour and binds and transports oxygen to the body's tissues. The new finding is really the first time evolutionary information alone has helped us pinpoint an important function of a gene in humans. Archaeology, science, and future studies, well, there is a good combination. A new website called Archwilio, which means to explore in Welsh, catalogues the historic environment records of Wales, allowing users to freely explore details of thousands of different archaeological sites dating back more than 100,000 years. Created using information from the four Archaeological Trusts of Wales, the new service is available at www.archwilio.org.uk. Now, I won't expect you to understand how to spell that, so it's ARCHWILIO. So, www.archwilio.org.uk. Emily Latrobe Bateman of Gwynedd Archaeological Trust explained that Archwilio is the online access system to the historic environments record of Wales. The idea is to disseminate information leading to a wider understanding of our cultural heritage and historic environment. Currently, around 100,000 individual entries are held by the four regions, which are continually updated and expanded as new information becomes available. Marion Page, HER Manager with DFID Archaeological Trust, said that there is a very exciting project to be able to share such a wealth of information on a database that will just grow and grow. So, have a look at it. You remember the name, www.archwilio.org.uk. Tell us what you think about it. Excavations have resumed at the Links of Notland and Westray in the Orkney Islands of Scotland, which last year revealed the Orkney Venus figurine, the earliest carving of a human figure ever found in Scotland. This season will focus on further excavation of the figurine building and allow the team to investigate the unusual building that has cattle skulls placed within the wall foundations. Historic Scotland senior archaeologist Richard Strachan is managing the project and explained, "The project is reaching a very exciting phase," he said, "as we race against the wind to recover the archaeological remains of the extensive settlement, extending for around 1,000 years from the late Neolithic to the Bronze Age. We're concentrating on further defining the enigmatic and unique cattle skull building uncovered at the end of the last season. And in the coming weeks, we hope to reach the floor surfaces of the figurine building. This represents an exceedingly rare opportunity to excavate a Neolithic building to primary context using modern archaeological techniques." Hazel Moore of Ease Archaeology added that what they have found so far has shed a lot of light on the way that the people were living and what they were farming with and what the conditions they were in. They have soil and bone specialists working with them, and hopefully this will allow them to clarify the diet of the animals kept there and determine how domesticated they were. It's clear that the people who farmed here worked hard, but beads and other ornaments that they have found also show that there was time for leisure activities, and they spent this time making things like coat pins, very similar to the shape of toggles that you'll see on duffel coats today. All this gives us an even better insight into what it would have been like to live on Westray in 2600 BCE. Well, I'm sure that one thing they didn't have was a cinema, but here we go to the next story, where Austrian and British researchers who have been working to understand ancient rock engravings from the Copper Age found in many hidden locations throughout Europe say that the displays may have been prehistoric man's primitive version of cinema. The researchers from Cambridge University and St. Pölten's University of Applied Sciences in Austria believe the visual displays indicate the artwork was more than just simple images. The cliff engravings, in their opinion, are not just pictures, but part of an audiovisual performance. The pictures create sequences like an animation. This was not just a treat for the eye, but also for the ears, as the rock engravings were often found in locations with particular echoes. Baker explained that the engravings are not just static images, but pictures that create a story in the mind of the viewer. Cambridge University and FH St. Pölten are now working with Weimar's Bauhaus University in Germany to launch a prehistoric picture project. The goal is to use computer technology to establish the sequence of the images and then to animate them like a cartoon. The movies, dating back to 4000 to 1000 BCE, often depict fights, dances or hunts, but interestingly never show death and very rarely portray women. As many as 100,000 pictures could be found in the engravings scattered throughout Europe, with the highest concentration found in the Valcamonica region in Italy, where the project is now being conducted. So, no death or women, well, Hollywood it ain't, but this is a fascinating project and a fascinating hypothesis. Craig Lee, a research associate with the University of Colorado Boulder's Institute of Arctic and Alpine Research, has found an atlatl dart, a spear-like hunting weapon melting out of an ice patch high in the Rocky Mountains close to Yellowstone National Park. Lee, a specialist in the emerging field of ice patch archaeology, said the dart had been frozen in the ice patch for 10 millennia and that climate change has now increased global temperatures and accelerated melting of permanent ice fields, exposing organic materials that have long been entombed in the ice. Until early this decade, we did not understand that there was such a potential to find archaeological material in association with melting permanent snow and ice in many areas of the globe. We're not talking about massive glaciers here, we're talking about the smaller, more kinetically stable snowbanks that you might see if you go to the Rocky Mountain National Park. As glaciers and ice fields continue to melt at an unprecedented rate, increasingly older and more significant artifacts, as well as plant material, animal carcasses and ancient feces, are being released from the ice that has gripped them for thousands of years. Over the past decade, Lee has worked with other researchers to develop a geographical information system, or GIS system, to identify glaciers and ice fields in Alaska and elsewhere that are likely to hold artifacts. They've pulled together biological and physical data to find ice fields that may have been used by prehistoric hunters to kill animals seeking refuge from the heat and insect swarms of the summer months. The dart Lee found was from a birch sapling and still had personal markings on it from the ancient hunter. When it was shot, the 3-foot-long dart had a projectile point at one end and a cup or dimple on the other end that would have attached to a hook on the atlatl. The hunter used the atlatl, which is a throwing tool about 2 feet long, for leverage to achieve greater velocity. Later this summer, Lee and the CU Boulder student researchers will travel to Glacier National Park to work with the Salish, Kootenai and the Blackfeet tribes and researchers from the University of Wyoming to recover and protect artifacts that may have recently melted out of similar locations. Quick retrieval of any organic artifacts like clothing, wooden tools and weapons is necessary to save them because once thawed out and exposed to the elements, they decompose quickly. A brilliant story and one that I hope we'll be able to report on later in a Past Horizons magazine. Now, in the west of Ireland, a prolonged drought weather spell which puts pressure on water supplies has proven to be good news for archaeologists. The low water table on the western lakes and rivers has yielded a number of significant finds in Connemara, according to archaeologist Michael Gibbons. Among them are been a new Cranog site, which is part of a complex in the South Connemara area. Cranogs, derived from cran, the Irish word for tree, were artificial islands built as dwellings in prehistoric and medieval times on lakes and estuaries. Similar groups of stone cranogs are found in parts of Mayo, West Donegal and throughout western Scotland, and they range from date from Neolithic to the 17th century. Cracking find there. Not so good news here. I'm afraid a campaign has been launched to crack down on illegal off-road bikers who are wrecking North Wales heritage sites. Mullingar Hillfort is just one of a number of historic locations across North Wales under siege from bikers and 4x4s carving up the countryside. Now, the Heather and Hillfort project had launched a Don't Leave Home Without It campaign to fight back. Project leaders want farmers, ramblers and others who enjoy the countryside to carry a police telephone number with them or even store it on their mobile phones and report these vandals. They're appealing for the public's help in catching and convicting the offenders who are liable to be fined up to £20,000 and, like this one, they can have their vehicles seized and crushed. The idea is that anyone seeing illegal off-roaders tearing up the landscape can immediately report them. Samantha Williams, Heather and Hillfort's conservation officer, said that sites like these are scheduled ancient monuments and they will not tolerate people riding motorbikes and 4x4s through Conwy Castle, and the same goes for Hillforts. They date from around 800 BCE, and the soil here is so thin that just one bike riding over it can destroy valuable archaeological remains, and they're just as much part of the history and heritage as a medieval castle. As well as this Hillfort, there are also Bronze Age burial mounds nearby, which are even older and are also being damaged by bikes. Denbighshire County archaeologist Fiona Gale said that 20 years ago, a grass track about 4 foot wide ran up there alongside the ridge, but now in places it's more than 15 feet wide and the heather and grass have been ripped away by trail bikes, and rain has now washed away the surface, exposing bare rock. Mole Eger is the smallest of many hill forts in Denbighshire, which is one of the highest concentrations of these Iron Age remains in Western Europe. There are plans to carry out an archaeological dig on the site this summer before even more valuable historical remains are destroyed. And in the meantime, there are plans to try and restore the area. Huge bales of cut heather lie ready to be spread over the bikers' illegal racetrack, and the area will then be seeded with specially selected mountain grasses to match those found locally. More information can be found on www.heatherinhillforts.co.uk. And the police off-roading hotline? Well, here it is, 0845 607 1002. Or if you're a Welsh language caller, it's 0845 607 1001. So remember, if you're up in this area and you see some illegal off-roaders on their 4x4s or some nasty people on trial bikes, who, by the way, are not going to be proper bikers, who will have a little bit more respect for what's out there, give them a call on 0845 607 1002. Historians are probing links between an ancient dugout canoe discovered on the banks of the Boyne and the landmark Newgrange site in County Meath in Ireland. The canoe, which has an unusual design and is believed to be unique in Ireland, was removed from the river by experts from the National Museum. It was discovered 2 weeks ago east of the Boyne Cable Bridge near Drogheda by two local fishermen, Ivan Murphy and Kevin Tewitt, who immediately contacted the authorities. The canoe is 3 metres long and 61 centimetres wide, in a very unusual shape, suggesting that it may have been used as a one-man vessel. It's got a large hook at one end, possibly for use as a link or for a mooring rope. The grooves made while cleaning out the wood from the centre of the great oak tree can be clearly seen. It will now be brought to a preservation centre in Roscommon, and tests will be used to firmly establish its age. Mayor Paul Bell hopes that the vessel will return to Drogheda to be put on display once it's been preserved. Now, I have to confess there's a little bit of controversy about this in the archaeological community, as we could be wrong, of course, but a 61-centimetre wide dugout canoe is not very big. I'm sure I wouldn't be able to get one of my knees in. But hey, who am I to say? What I can say, however, is don't forget to get your issue 12 of Past Horizons, which is still online just now. We're building up to go along to issue 13, coming out in the beginning of August. And we are hoping, desperately, that we're going to have a brand new interface for Past Horizons as well. So, can it get better? Yes, it can. I have to say that I love doing this, and I'm happy that you do too. So to all around the world, from California to China, from Italy to Orkney, thank you for making our podcast one of the favourites and the most downloaded archaeological podcasts in the world. Spread the word, email your friends, and I will have a special one for you next week, as believe it or not, we are celebrating, yes, 5 years of this Archaeology News podcast. 5 years, I can't believe it. And it's all thanks to you for keeping Diego, Dave and myself going. So can I finally remind you that the many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section, can be found on Badger, www.bajr.org, and more can always be found on Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thank you for listening to this week's Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again for our special 5-year edition next week.